Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of the Red Men Weekly podcast. I'm Steve Hall, bringing you the best clips from our Red Men Plus content this week. Say it all the time. If you want to listen to these shows or indeed watch them in full, simply head on over to redmenplus.com. Sign up as either a captain or if you want some extra perks, join us as a legend. You'll get full access to all of our amazing content. And if you do sign up as a legend, you'll get some added bonuses too, like free merch, access to our Discord chat, and plenty, plenty more. Right then, without further ado, let's start with our first clip of the week. This one came from our Journo Insight show. It was Dan Clubb. And it was Neil Jones having a big old chat about the transfers.
This is the longest I've been into any show in about a fortnight without mentioning the name Romeo Lavia, but we are here, of course. You said last week that a compromise could be found, hopefully with Southampton. There's been all sorts of reports about a third bidding coming. My man Sasha Tavlieri messaged me over the weekend. Says it's going to be an intense week in the Romeo Lavia. Intense week in the Romeo. Whether you talk about Lavia or not, I'm not sure. Actually, thinking back, could be anything. Where are we at? What's going on?
Yeah.
Are we going to see some movement on this in the coming days?
Well, you would think so, you would hope so, because he obviously was, he didn't play Friday for Southampton, and I refuse to believe that that was a footballing decision, that they believe Will Smallbone is a better midfielder for the championship opener than Romeo Lavia. If that is, then Liverpool may be looking in the wrong place for their number six. So he didn't play. Southampton play tomorrow night in the Carabao Cup. Now, okay, it's not a deal breaker, but if he plays in that game, then that's another layer of complexity added to negotiations, because he's cup tied for the competition. So you would hope that Liverpool are sort of, if there is going to be a third bid, then it's going to be soon, isn't it? It's got to be soon, really, but it's going to be soon for Southampton's sake and for Liverpool's. Listen, what we're seeing, and I think credit to them, and good luck to them. Southampton aren't budging on, you know, they're not caving the way that a lot of clubs maybe would expect, or a lot of people maybe expect a relegated club to do. You know, they've, James Ward-Prowse led them out in the Championship, which, I mean, I didn't even sort of register until I saw them in the tunnel leading them out, and I thought, what's he doing? What's that poor lad doing there? You know, sort of, you know, this guy who's given them, what, 10 years of unbelievable service, sort of almost single-handedly at times sort of leading their fight for them. And there he is, you know, he can't get out yet. So Southampton are staying firm on it. Yep. £50 million is what they want. I don't know how far they'll come down. They obviously haven't come down to 42, which is what Liverpool offered. Will he come to 45? My sort of gut says probably, but they haven't got that decision to make yet. I think we'll see a third bid from Liverpool this week for Lavia. I think it'll have to be close to 45 plus to get him, which is a lot of money, but Liverpool have clearly decided that he's the one. He might be the best of a bad bunch, or he might be the sort of the least imperfect option, or he might just be a player that they think is absolutely potential top level, but they're going to have to pay to get him. And I think they thought they'd have him by now, to be honest. I think they thought $42 million would be more than enough to get Romeo Lavia this summer. It isn't, and that's credit to Southampton.
No, but it is, absolutely. Yeah, Southampton done this a lot. We've seen it with Tino Livramento. They held out for their fee with Newcastle there. They've actually done it a little bit with James Ward-Prowse. And it's fascinating that he did start the game, because just suggests, as you alluded to there, that Lavia, they probably feel more like that a sale's imminent with him. So they did leave him on the bench for all 99 minutes or whatever it was of the match, and they did start Ward-Prowse. So maybe Lavia is a little bit closer to the exit door. But yeah, for Liverpool, that third bid's got to come. It's got to be more like what Southampton want, because they haven't budged. Maybe we thought there's some goodwill with all the money we've given them over the years, some goodwill in the bank, but it hasn't been the case. Want to touch on two more players, and I will tie them in together. Tchouaméni and Gravenberch, because there's been reports over the weekend about Liverpool still ready to move for Ryan Gravenberch, and the Tchouaméni stuff is Bayern Munich are interested in him, and kind of want to bring them together, because I do wonder, I've wrote down there, it could be a bit of a waiting game for Liverpool's perspective. In terms of the second one, we've spoken about Lavia, and it's clear that we've earmarked Lavia, whether it be sort of what he can bring short term or his potential. We like him, we want him through the door, and we'll deal with the rest after. But with the next player, do you think Liverpool might be waiting a little bit to see whether Gravenberch turns to Bayern Munich and says, listen, I want to go? Maybe Real Madrid have to spend all this money on Kylian Mbappe, for example, so they need to sell someone like Tchouaméni. Do you think there is a little bit of that sort of poker going on?
I think it's fair to wonder that, because there's obviously there is a situation that you push the button and say, right, just give Southampton $50 million for Lavia, and then all of a sudden Real Madrid are trying to sell Tchouaméni, and you think, oh my god, what have we done? You know, there is that world, isn't there? But you would also think that sort of Liverpool have to. The situation is so stark at the moment for Liverpool that they have to get these things done. So, you know, I think if there was any chance of getting Tchouaméni, surely Liverpool would have been already well across it. They've obviously got a relationship with the camp. They've obviously spent time making those relationships in the past. Gravenberch, I mean, he came on against Liverpool and played in almost as a number 10, didn't he? I mean, he didn't. So I watched it and thought, where's this number 6 sort of idea come from? I know he has played there in the past, but Gravenberch, he doesn't. I don't know if he changes the sort of. He's such a game changer for that number 6 position. You know, I'm not entirely sure. I think Tchouaméni probably is. You know, that you go, well, you know, he's so good. We think he's so good that he just goes straight into the side. I still think Gravenberch would have to, you know, there'd be a lot of work that needs to be done in that position. Obviously, but I mean, Bayern have got an interesting situation bubbling at the moment with Harry Kane. Yeah. You know, that might impact what they do this window. I can't see a situation where they sign Harry Kane and Tchouaméni.
No.
You know, in that regard, I think Gravenberch, all the word was that he was not happy with his game time, but Bayern didn't want to sell him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Liverpool, one of the reasons Liverpool didn't really sort of go all in for him, was I think they suspected this situation was going to emerge where there's a little bit of, you know, impasse. We don't know how long it's going to take to get a deal done. It's not going to be easy to do it in the window. And Liverpool wanted to avoid that, ironically, given the situation they're in now. Sort of what we were talking about at the start of June, we were saying, oh, Liverpool are trying to get the ducks in a row. They want them all in for pre-season and they're going to get that done. And it looked, for a little spell,
yeah, it did.
Like they'd done it quite well, you know, with two good players in, and then they could sort of relax a little bit and look and see what comes. It's so difficult now that the situation's so stark for Liverpool. They have to get players in. They have to. And they can't afford to be sitting there on the last day of the window saying, right, okay, what's the final word from Bayern Munich? Okay, it's a no. Right, okay. What's the final word from Real Madrid? Yeah, it's a no. They can't be in that situation. No. And it's... I mean, you have these conversations with people a lot, and I was speaking to a couple of journalists over in Germany when we were over there, and I said, you know, who would you be your one, really, that you'd go and get? For me, it's Caicedo.
Yeah.
That's what I've said that consistently. I would be right in the mix for Caicedo. But the sort of other name that was always there was Tchouaméni, and it was like, well, you know, Liverpool should be sort of at risk and making themselves look stupid by just being at Real Madrid's door saying, come on, let's have him, come on, we want him, we want him. And even if Real Madrid keeps saying, no, Liverpool, we want him, come on, what can we do, what can we do? I'm not sure Liverpool are there. I think Lavia is the one that they're going to sort of go and get next.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, who knows? I mean, Andre's been linked, hasn't he? Obviously from Brazil. I think there might be some movement with that if they were to lose tomorrow night, isn't it? They play Argentina Copa Libertadores. Yeah. If they were to go out to that, possibly.
1-1 from the first leg.
1-1 from the first leg. I think they're at home, aren't they? Second leg, I think, Fluminense. So I think there's potential to move there. But in terms of the other two, I mean, I feel like Gravenberg went with Szoboszlai coming in personally, but we'll see. I think Tchouaméni, I'm not sure Real Madrid will sell him personally, but there's so much going on with Mbappe, with Kane, with others, that things can change. I think Liverpool are looking more at the Lavia end of the spectrum than that end.
Thanks to Dan and thanks to Neil for that one. Let's move on to our next show. It is the Biased Transfer Podcast. It was me, it was Chris, it was Chloe, it was Dan, and we had a big old look around the league. The season is nearly here. Who's going to win what? Who's going to be doing what? We spoke about it all on this week's Biased Transfer Podcast. Right then, let's move on to our predictions. I asked the Discord chat as well for their thoughts on some of these, so I won't read everybody's out for every single one because it'll be the longest, most boring show of all time. But as we read ours out, guys, I'll intersperse some of the Discord chat as well. So, end of season predictions. Me, Chloe, Chris, Dan and Paul Machen sent me over his as well. So, first of all, we're going to start out with our predictions for the top six in order. I will go mine first. I've got City win the league, followed by Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United, Newcastle and Chelsea in sixth. They were mine. Chris?
Mine's exactly the same as that.
Yeah.
City, Liverpool, Arsenal, United, Newcastle and Chelsea.
I know.
I am, but I'm also a Liverpool fan who hopes that they can fucking prove me wrong each and every week. I couldn't possibly predict Liverpool for third. That's what I decided. That's kind of where it comes to. So I've done it with my heart a little bit. I was toying with it was a toss up between Spurs and Chelsea, and I went Spurs and then I changed to Chelsea and I went back, and I've decided that Pochettino's a better manager for me in this league, and therefore I went with Chelsea.
Cool. Chloe?
I went City, Arsenal, Liverpool, United, Chelsea, Newcastle.
So far we're all there or thereabouts in terms of the teams. Dan's throwing a spanner in the works.
Arsenal, United, Chelsea and Villa. On the Chelsea point, I agree with Chris. I think Pochettino is a good manager. I like him. I think he suits the Premier League and he'll do a good job. But Villa, yeah, I think they ended the season so well. I think they had a really good summer as well. I think they bought really well.
Not too much to go, is it?
And literally they were like 16th when Emery came in. So yeah, I think they've had a really good summer as well. They haven't lost anyone significant yet either. So I'm kind of backing them to carry on. I think Emery did a brilliant job in Spain as well. We've seen that firsthand when we played Villarreal. So, yeah, why not?
Who misses out in yours? Newcastle?
Newcastle.
Paul isn't having Newcastle either. Paul's gone City win the league, then Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea come fourth, Man United fifth and Tottenham. Paul's buying the Spurs.
I couldn't put Spurs up there.
Yeah, I think Harry Kane's going. I know we'll get to that later, so I'm not having the Spurs. Bottom three, again. In fact, no, before I do that, I'll go to the Discord chat and read a couple of top six ones out. I will start with... It just says J and then three stars, whoever that is. I apologise.
Three-star J?
Of course, three-star J. I think of that. City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, Newcastle and Chelsea. And then Cam, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, United, Chelsea, Newcastle. Yeah, so there or thereabouts. And then Steo here finally. City, Liverpool, Arsenal, United, Brighton.
Brighton, yeah.
Come fifth in Steo here's one. And then followed by
Don't see that.
Chelsea.
No.
I did mention Brighton when me and Chloe were discussing this morning. I don't know.
I think they've lost too many.
Not can you keep
six.
Doing it?
It's the Europe thing as well. How are they going to deal with Europe? But yeah, listen, they're certainly a very impressive team. Right then, let's move on to our relegated teams then. I'll kick us off. I'm going for Luton and Sheffield United. I just don't see they've done anywhere near enough to even... I mean, Sheffield United have sold their two best players, which doesn't help.
And what was his name?
They're in the process of selling Sander Berge, I think, to Burnley. Luton, I don't even think they're trying to stay up. I think they're just quite happy to take the dough and the parachute payment to take the ground. I don't think they're asked.
And then like Holmes under the hammer to them, the Premier League.
Cash in the attic. And then I've gone Wolves.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wolves are in big trouble, Chris.
Sheffield United and Luton, and I went Nottingham Forest this time.
you think Forrest are going to go this time? They haven't done enough. Mm. They are still trying to be active in the transfer market, aren't they? Again, as who the funk are they? Chloe?
Luton, Wolves and Sheffield United. I think Wolves are in deep trouble. They've not... I mean, Raúl Jiménez, we can turn around and say he's not being brilliant and he's not of the ilk of, a brilliant Premier League striker, but they haven't sorted that out. They've got players who are in and out of form. And I think Lopetegui might just fuck off.
We'll get to him later because I think a lot of people agree. Dan,
yeah, I'm Luton. Like you alluded to that, I don't think they've got a hope and a prayer to answer. I think they're long gone. Fair dues from getting up. Forest. The reason I've gone Forest is because Cooper came under huge pressure, and I'll come on to this a bit later, mid-season, for like no reason. So I don't quite get what's going on there behind the scenes. I think it's a little bit unsettled. They haven't done great business. So I think they'll go. And Sheffield United, you said it, they've sold the best two players, haven't got promoted, nowhere near replaced them. So
Paul has gone for West Ham.
Really?
Yeah.
West Ham, Luton, Sheffield United, Paul's gone.
Well, is that if they sign Maguire?
And if we don't sign anyone, we'll be fine. But if we sign these two fucking idiots, it's a net negative.
Spending
of
the rice money well,
I'm not having that. West Ham, I'm going to go down. I'm not having that at all. Sorry, Paul, but you're more than welcome to your opinion, of course. I'll read a couple of others then. Ashley Frith went for Luton, Sheffield United, Wolves. Martin, LFC, 1-2-3. Luton, Sheffield United and Bournemouth. Okay, yeah, Bournemouth.
Didn't get sacking Gary O'Neill, so it was a good shout. It's a good shout.
Yeah, absolutely. And then M. Gregor, Everton, Burnley, Luton. I like to cut your jib. And then Matty as
well. Burnley?
Burnley, yeah. And then Matty's gone for Sheffield United, Luton and Everton. Telling you now, right, Everton will never get relegated.
No.
They're a cockroach.
They're a cockroach.
They can't die. No, they'll survive a nuclear holocaust and be 17th. Like, they are unflappable and unkillable. They'll always be shit, but they'll never die. That's what they are. Like that fucking tear that won't flush.
I'm kind of okay with that, to be honest. As long as they don't have any joy in their lives, that's fine.
Moving on then, our top three goal scorers, obviously, in the Premier League. Listen, we all went Haaland, obviously. Haaland, Salah, and then I went Marcus Rashford as my third one. And I say that on the provider that I think Harry Kane's leaving.
Yeah.
And I think Rashford, who came fourth or fifth in last year, Ivan Toney was third, and he can't play because he likes to gamble. Harry Kane, obviously, I think he will eventually go to Bayern. And then it was a toss-up of who you think's next. There was like your Sakas, your Martinellis were there about. So Erdegaard actually was quite high up on that list. Mm-hmm. But although they've signed this new lad, I'm still going to go Rashford. So Haaland, Salah, Rashford was my 1-2-3.
Similar to mine, Haaland, Salah, I went Kane, and then I bracketed if he's not there, Rashford.
Yep.
Haaland, Kane, if he's there, Salah.
I can't have the Kane if he's there. I need just to nail this down as well.
Well,
he's not there. He's not gone yet. So
he's scored four on the weekend, didn't he? Yeah, I've just gone Haaland, Salah, Kane. I think Kane stays and leaves for Nottingham next year.
Do you all think Salah gets more goals than Kane?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
we're better than Spurs.
I do think Jota's going to be close.
Paul wrote Haaland, Salah, Jota. In the Discord, Castiet, Haaland, Salah, Jota. So, yeah, he's there. Who else have we got in here? Let's have a look.
I don't know with Jota. Is he going to get that volume of goals?
I think
he's clinical.
I think he'll get 20
goals. Is he going to be available?
In the league?
Yeah.
I don't think he gets that volume per season. Fair choice,
though.
Of player.
Fair choice. You can get like 15 to 18.
Yeah.
I think the third last year was 20.
I sing from the hilltops about Diogo Jota all day long. I think he's boss. He's the most clinical striker we've got, and I include Mohamed Salah in that. I think he's lethal in front of the goal, but he just doesn't feel like somebody's going to play the football, get the minutes, and score the volume of goals that we're talking about.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think he'll be there. I think he'll be 4th or 5th. I think he'll be thereabouts. Moving on, then a couple of you guys. Who was this one? I had one there. Cody Poole, 86. Haaland, Salah, Martinelli. Okay, interesting one. There's a new name for you. Milesy has gone Mo first, then Haaland, and then Marcus Rashford. Any one more? Let's have a little scroll until I stop on someone. I'll give you... Christian has gone for Haaland, Salah, Nunes.
Wowza.
Okay. I love what he's having.
I like you.
I am not buying the Christian Kool-Aid.
Which Nunes? Darwin.
I hope you're right. Stop laughing at our own players. I say I'm not buying the Christian Kool-Aid. I don't mean the whole religious stuff, although I'm not into that either. I mean actually Christians' version of events. Right then, Premier League player of the season. Me and Chris are milquetoast boring.
Yeah.
Just gone Erling Haaland again. Don't have to go too far into that. Chloe.
Kevin De Bruyne.
How can he win it? Not over Haaland, that's what I don't get. If City were Everton,
I didn't want to put Haaland.
If City were Everton, Haaland would have scored a billion goals again, you'd think. Let's get injured.
No, but
okay.
To be fair, Jordan Henderson won it over Sadio Mane that one season. He was incredible that season, to be fair to him. Like, but
sometimes it goes to like the Lifetime Achievement Award as well, doesn't it? Like
Giggs got it. This
is the Premier League's version. This isn't PFA. Premier League's version, because we'll get to the young players in a minute and why people qualify. But yeah, fair enough. Listen, Kevin De Bruyne is fucking brilliant. He's got every chance of doing it.
He did the double last year, didn't he?
Yeah. Dan?
I've got Mohamed Salah. I've got him in my second top scorer, obviously, which will be a good amount of goals. But I think his assists, I think we're going to see them go up a notch or two as well. So I think if he ends the season with like 25 Premier League goals and 15, 20 assists, I think it'd be hard to ignore.
Yeah, fair enough. Who else have we got in here? Castietta agrees with you. He's gone for Kevin De Bruyne. Trent from J Free Stars. Trent Alexander-Arnold for him.
Even consider Trent, you know.
Cam has gone for Trent as well. There's another one for Trent. Theo here went for Haaland. Like us, milquetoast. So is Ashley Haaland. Yeah, Martin Haaland. Yeah, a lot of people are doing the same thing. Moving on then, young player of the year. Now, bear in mind, this is the Premier League's version. So you've got to be 23 or under. I'm the only one who's picked Haaland. Are you just like, fucking, I don't get
I
it.
I want to be different.
Not going to get both. Can't get both.
He literally just did it.
I know, yeah, but not again.
No, he can't.
You can't keep giving him both.
I think this is the last time he can get both. Haaland is the odds on
for. I haven't got him as my winner in the main one, so I couldn't.
Yeah, Erling Haaland has a disappointing season in Dan's eyes. He finishes top scorer in the league and doesn't win any individual awards.
Yeah.
Okay. You're hedging your bets, fair enough. Chris, you've gone Saka.
Yeah, back in Saka.
You're a big fan, aren't you? You
think I think he's boss. I think he's boss. And I think he can win it even if Haaland wins player of the season. Because I'm like Dan, I don't think you can win them both 2 years on the bounce.
Chloe?
What I wanted to go was Saka, but what I did go for was Jacob Ramsey.
Why?
Why?
He's really good.
I like him.
I just wanted to be
a little bit different. It'd be boring to just say Haaland and Saka again, which I did want to. And also, if we're going by Dan's predictions of them finishing sixth, so you'll have a good season.
Okay. Dan?
I really like Ramsey, but I've gone Bukayo Saka. Similar to Masala, sort of Fred, in terms of I think he'll get a good number of goals and assists in what will be another Arsenal side to be reckoned with. So, yeah, Saka.
I apologise, I forgot to read Paul's out before. Paul's player of the year was Declan Rice. Premier League player of the year. And his young player of the year is Phil Foden. Yeah, both really good players.
Is he still 23?
Just, yeah. I think so.
I mean, he hardly played last season.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he's... again, I just don't, if a City player wins it, then I'm guessing it would probably end up being Haaland, unfortunately, was my guess. Right then, next.
And he is 23, yeah?
Yeah, 23.
Wow.
I know.
First manager to leave or be sacked. I'll just be honest with you now. We all went for Lopetegui, except Dan, who's gone for Steve Cooper.
Steve Cooper, correct, yeah.
Why?
Similar to what I said before, he nearly lost a job when Nottingham Forest playing well. Yeah, Nottingham Forest had just got promoted out of nowhere under Steve Cooper. He was looking like he was going to keep him up, and then they nearly sacked him. So I just think there's some sort of weird stuff going on in the background.
I wouldn't be shocked if Lopetegui leaves this week.
Well, that's the problem, yeah. Obviously. And the links with David Moyes going as well.
I think he's pissed off, Lopetegui.
They've not done anything.
Well, they can't. It's the FFP stuff, isn't it? Killing them over.
That's why I put them down.
Yeah, same.
It's obviously a tapping, but I think if Favre's got off to a bad start, I think Steve Cooper could be on the chopping block quite quickly as well.
Going back to a very... Sorry, I apologise. Didn't read some young players dead quick. Lavia was one who Ashley picked. Martin picked Trent. I think Trent might be too old now.
He's 24.
Yeah. We had Foden from M. Gregor. We had Szoboszlai from Matty. First manager sacked then, loads of Lopetegui.
Yeah.
Steo here saying Lopetegui as well. Actually, an interesting one. Is it Areola
in
Bournemouth. He actually put in brackets Bournemouth's manager,
yeah,
which helped me because I didn't know who that was. Who else have we got here? Marco Silva says Matty. I see him walking. If they sold Mitrovic and Willian, he's gone, fuck it, I'll just go to Saudi Arabia again. So maybe that's what the thinking is there. Yeah, Cody Poole's gone for Lopetegui as well. Champions League finalists then. for some reason, I
yours should be a good game.
I just looked at the doc. I had Real Madrid versus Real Madrid on my document. It was meant to say Real Madrid versus Manchester City. And again, you're predicting draws and you're predicting outcomes of group stages and blah, yada, yada. But yeah, I've gone Real Madrid, Man City. Mm-hmm. I think we're at an age now where Man City might win a couple of these in the next few years, Chris.
Yeah, City going to get there, I think. And a surprising toss-up between Bayern Munich and Barcelona for me. Uh-huh. And I went with Bayern Munich in the end, obviously, if he signed Kane.
Yeah, that's what I did. I said City, Real Madrid, but if Bayern get Kane, then City, Bayern.
Yeah, I just bore off Man City. fed up of him, like. I went, what did I go? PSG, Real Madrid. Real Madrid, I think, of a banker. Absolutely no-brainer for this, personally. Unfortunately, Man City might be as well, but I think I'm going to go for a bit of a shock. Man City revert to type in Europe and get knocked out for no reason by somebody she never got knocked out by.
So are they in the Europa League final?
No, they're not that early. Thankfully, this is sort of last 16 stages. And PSG to get their house in order in the next 2 weeks. No, Mbappe stays, Neymar stays, they just signed Gonzalo Ramos, and everything's fine.
Yeah, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. They're a fucking shambles at the bit. Man City versus Real Madrid is what Paul went for, by the way, for anyone who is interested in that one. Milesy has gone for Bayern versus Real Madrid. He's bored off of Manchester City, of course, as well. Barca Madrid has gone Cody Pool and El Clasico.
Like that. Love that.
Champions League final would be fucking awesome. Imagine the view. Do you think that'd be the most watched footy game ever?
No.
If there was a Clasico,
I'll tell you what.
Champions League, that must be up there.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be.
That'd be crazy.
It's the biggest game in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the biggest game in the world.
He's probably moved that to China or something.
The biggest game in the world,
yeah.
Who else have we got? City Bayern, that was from Matty. Bayern versus Madrid from M. Gregor as well. Madrid versus Bayern is quite a popular one. Martin said that one as well. Ashley has gone City versus Arsenal. Got Arsenal
into
the Champions League final. Steve went for Madrid versus Man City as well. Yeah, there's a lot of love for a couple of teams there in particular. Right then, Europa League finalists. I can't believe we're fucking talking about this dead ass competition. Nice one, Liverpool.
You've got to do a feckin' reaction show to the draw.
I've gone Liverpool v Porto. I've got Porto dropping out the Champions League in the group stages and get into the final. Liverpool v Porto for all time's sake. We can beat them 5-0 again. Chris?
I've gone Liverpool versus, and this is where I decided not to be milquetoast anymore, Arsenal.
Out the Champions League.
Out the Champions League and get to Europa League final against Liverpool in Dublin.
Club. Liverpool.
Good final, that, by the way.
Great final.
Yeah, it would be.
Liverpool v Newcastle.
So you got them getting knocked out.
Yeah.
Has anyone gone for a team that was actually in the Europa League?
Yeah, man. Yeah, by Leverkusen. Okay. Liverpool by Leverkusen.
There's Xabi Alonso.
The old romantic in me, there's Xabi Alonso reunion, in Dublin. It just sounds wonderful.
Paul's gone for Brighton.
Mm.
Liverpool v Brighton.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Did he do these predictions when he was pissed?
I don't want anything to do with that final. That's a horrible final. Brighton is so good.
Let's have a little look. Liverpool v Seville, says Kai. No, 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 we don't want that. We do not want that. How are we going to
get knocked out, wouldn't they?
Yeah, of course. That's what happens to Seville. They win the Europa League, they get knocked out in the Champions League, and then they win the Europa League again. Ad nauseum. Yeah. Oh, they hate that. Them and Real Madrid. I bet Real Madrid end up in this somehow and we end up playing them somewhere.
Sevilla is in like the third division of Spanish football now, but they are still stuck in this Champions League, hopefully.
Oh, years ago in the Championship playing on the first
Honestly, I'd rather play Man City. I don't want Sevilla in this competition. It's like it's like fucking Popeye's spinach. The second they're in the Europa League, they're just fucking muscles like this.
You've got our trophy there, lads.
Let's have a little look who else we've got here as well. Europa League fans, Liverpool and Brighton, says Cam. Liverpool v Roma, says Steve.
Yeah.
Liverpool v Ajax, says Martin.
Love that.
Again. I reckon Liverpool versus Seville. That's Gregor, who else have we got here? There's a lot of Seville love, obviously. Liverpool v Real Madrid, says Matty. Fuck off, Matty.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, no, we can't. Please don't knock at that. They can't knock out of Europe again in a different competition. Right then, moving on, and this may be the more fun of the conversation so far. Dan, I'll start with you on this one. Okay. What is your mad, weird, and this is Paul's category, mad, weird, or other prediction, simple as.
Yeah, well, I think it's a bit of a surprise. I've gone Eddie Howe, and I had to include Jason Tindall because obviously he's the main man at Newcastle. They're not going to make it till Christmas at Newcastle because I think sort of alludes.
So they won't complete the full calendar of photographs?
No.
Sad.
No, oh, they won't actually get the full. And Jason Tindall will be particularly disappointed with
he's
that.
He's a fucking bellend.
He is a bad bellend, you're right. It kind of ties in with me saying they won't make top six. I think the Champions League football being added to their schedule, I think the expectations and the weight thereof are going to get a bit too much for them. Slightly dodgy start, potentially. And I think what the owners want, even though they're not exactly reflected in the transfer window, they're not spending the money I expected them to, I mean, they're still going to have aspirations of, oh, we'll just be in the top four now. And when they're not, I think they're in for a shock. So I think Eddie Howe and Tindall might get the bullet.
Cool. I went for Aston Villa in the conference.
That's a great choice.
Yeah.
Unai Emery in Europe.
He's boss of the Sevilla.
West Ham won it, and they're better than. I think Villa could be better than West Ham.
Oh, miles better.
Yeah, so I've gone Aston Villa win the comp. I don't even know if that's that mad. Aston Villa, Unai Emery gets another European trophy. I'd be in the genius it is. We couldn't have this show without more of an Unai Emery loving. It happens every single time, and there's more of it, Chris.
I think Liverpool are going to be the top scorers in the league. I said that on the podcast, and I think it's going to be mad how many goals we score this season.
By
I
100.
Think, like, yeah, what did. City got about 90 odd last year, I think 100 goals. Yeah, go ahead, 100 goals.
Liverpool scored 100 Premier League goals, and that's great. I love that prediction. Chloe?
I went with something that contradicts the fact that I've put them in the top six, but I reckon Pochettino won't last 6 months if Norton goes to plan the first couple of weeks.
It would be very unlike Chelsea to sack him. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it wouldn't. It would be exactly like Chelsea, so yeah, right. Paul's gone Steven Gerrard won't finish the season as Etifax manager. I don't know when the season is.
I know what that means.
But yeah, that wouldn't be a shock, I suppose. MP Daniels, Darwin will have zero headbutts this year, and Jurgen Klopp will a chair shot on a foot off official. Did you see a video the other day of those people fighting on the bay in America? Like, I think it was in Alabama, and someone literally chair shot at someone during a real fight. It was like WWE. It was brilliant. I mean, it was assault, but it was funny.
There's going to be so many red cards, by the way, this season.
Castiet. Ten Hag comes under pressure and almost walks.
You've got to be walks.
J3 stars, our mate again. This season we'll have a record number of 90-plus minute winners. Yeah, obviously with the new.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
A great shout! Well done.
Big 100th minute winners.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Newcastle well could have an average of 15 minutes at a time every game.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah.
Over the course of the season,
yeah. I'm going to go for late. I'm going to Google now see if I can find it. The latest ever winner in Premier League.
It's about to get broken.
Yeah, I was about to say that could break, couldn't it? Later, I'll see if I can find it in a moment.
Nick Pope picking the ball out, isn't it, in the 145th minute.
Let's have a little look.
What did you think?
Steo here goes, one or more bald mank refs will fuck Liverpool over in some
good
way.
Good start on Sunday. We've got Andy Taylor on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's a banker. And I'm not sure that's...
Ashley 15. Has gone for one. Arsenal win the Champions League.
No, they don't do that.
Martin, Newcastle get to the Champions League semi-finals.
Absolutely not.
Not having that one. Okay.
Absolutely.
M. Gregor, Newcastle sign Neymar before the window closes.
No.
Don't see that one happen.
Actually, I don't think, like, I'm not as outright now on that as the other two.
That's more plausible than Champions League semi-final.
Is
it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Comfortably. That's got Mourinho.
So he wants to go to Barcelona, but he'll settle for Newcastle United.
Yeah, and money, yeah.
Okay. And the dough. As long as he gets his sister's birthday off every year, he's not asked.
Yeah.
I might be wrong, but the list I found on Google says Dirk Kuyt's 101st minute goal against Arsenal was the latest Premier League ever
was that
goal.
The latest?
In terms of extra time. I might be wrong. Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes once scored after the final whistle.
I remember that against Brighton.
Oh my God, yeah.
I remember that.
And then Juan Mata scored in the 100th minute of a
but
game once.
A whistle gone before he gave the
ball? Doing the change room?
Yeah, they were on the way off the pitch. Yeah. That's fine. Take out. So probably, I reckon that could be broken. I wouldn't be shocked if that was broken.
What do you think of it, though? Like, I was watching the championship started, and every slight kick of a ball away was a yellow. And I'm pretty sure the lad who got red carded in the Ipswich game, I'm not having that he was getting a second yellow for his challenge. When he booted the ball away, that's when the ref went to his pocket.
Well, don't do it.
Was it Sunderland?
Yeah. Well, don't do
was it
then.
In the Ipswich game? Or?
It was Sunderland against Ipswich, yeah.
Don't do it. Like, don't be a fucking
no,
like,
no, but what do you think?
I'm fine with that.
You sound?
Yeah, if you don't time waste.
It's
the biggest bugbear in my whole football watching experience is time wasting, so yeah, get on with it. Like, that's the what will happen is
it'll be a thing for 6 months. Everyone will stop time.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Just go back
exactly. Yeah. What'll happen is the games will be so long. Everyone will be pissed off at it. Mm. That they'll stop time wasting, and then eventually.
What I don't understand from it all is players and the Varane. General public. If Varane is the example, but the general public now coming out and saying, "Well, you're demanding too much." Well, you're not, because you're not playing for 100 odd minutes because you're stopping in periods.
All we're demanding yeah. is that you play football.
Yeah,
is that the period we're trying to eliminate? Yeah. We've all paid for.
What you're eliminating is the fact that when you're stood around waiting, so you're not exactly exerting yourself there, because Guardiola's moaning about it as well. People are missing the point on it, is what I'm trying to say. They're missing it entirely.
Do you want a couple more mad predictions?
Yeah.
Cody Poole, Newcastle do better in the Champions League than they do in the Premier League.
Okay.
We've got, who's this one? Matty. Everton have more managers than they do home Premier League wins.
That's not that mad, is it?
But I also don't think it's going to happen.
Dice won't go anywhere.
I think he'll be fine this season.
Dice is solid.
Let's have a little look. My mad prediction is that I'm going to be different than everyone else, and I'm having faith in Luton staying up. So he's gone Luton. Luton finished 17th and stay up.
Wow.
That was Milesy's. That might be the most boldest one. That
I think it is.
That might be more than Neymar to Newcastle, I think.
No, it is. Like,
I think there's a chance they're the worst ever Premier League team.
Derby County, the worst.
I think they might.
Is that 8 points they got or something?
I feel like it was 11 off the top of my head, but it might
lowest points.
I might be making that up.
It was Derby.
Definitely Derby. I think it was 11.
Paul Jewell's Derby in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
11, yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what. See you later.
Shocking that, innit?
And that's it. So yeah, they are our predictions. Like I say, guys, do use the socials, use the comments below, all that kind of stuff. Let us know your predictions. Let us know your answers for each of those categories as well.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right then, moving on, it's transfer inside time. Yes, Dan Clubb, just before he wheeled off on his holidays, he literally delayed his holiday to do this show, which, listen, I wouldn't have done it, but that just is how committed Dan Clough is to bringing you guys the best content. So yeah, on this week's Transfer Insight, Dan spoke to reporter and broadcaster Ben Jacobs all about Lavia and what's going on with that situation between Liverpool and Southampton.
Liverpool's Romeo Lavia pursuit remains thus. I think there are three rejected bids in now, and sort of the fourth one is either in, it's anticipated. Where are we at with it, Ben? What's the current state of play?
Yeah, my understanding is that perhaps the media cycle has been a little bit behind on this one, which is normal when you have a rejected bid. It tends to suffice. And sometimes there's an assumption that the bid went in pretty much at the same time as the rejection. And my understanding is that since that third rejected bid, Liverpool have come back in with an improved offer. And naturally, because the feeling is that Lavia and 50 million will do the deal, and the rejected bid was at 45. There's obviously not much more needed to get this one over the line if Liverpool want to proceed. And if they meet the valuation that Southampton are looking for, it's very known now that Lavia wants the move. And I think this is why there's quite a bit of frustration amongst maybe the Liverpool fan base, because they're looking at the last rejected bid, they're looking at the so-called asking price and they're wondering why, with the season now on our doorstep, things haven't been done. And this is a little bit atypical for Liverpool from my experience of covering the club anyway, because we've seen multiple bids. It's played out quite publicly. Lavia obviously wasn't in the Carabao Cup squad and we can read something into that for sure, but they're still there. And talks are continuing at the time we're recording this. And I would imagine by the time people listen to this, or certainly between now and the Chelsea game, things will have moved on a little bit further. And this is about Liverpool being in a unique position. And I think this is why it feels quite painful with Lavia, because usually Liverpool's approach within the window is quite simple. If they think that the valuation is excessive, they walk away, they're disciplined, they do everything on their terms and their numbers. Whereas because this market has been so unique, I'm told by insiders that the very definition of value has changed. And it's almost commonplace now to have a young 50-odd million pound midfielder, which is not the kind of deal that Liverpool would normally do, but needs must, especially with the departures of Fabinho and Jordan Henderson. And that might mean that Liverpool have to be very un-Liverpool-like and eventually just pay what it takes or somewhere close to what it takes. The other complication with Lavia is just that Chelsea have stuck their oar in, as they've done with a variety of different deals this summer. And it doesn't mean at this point, when we're recording this anyway, that they've bid. But this is very Chelsea-like to go in and disrupt a deal and way more deals than they're ever going to get done, to verbally promise something, to try and get a player to change his mind in case they want to move in that direction. And the Chelsea aspect means that the market since January has been inflated. But it also means that if you're Southampton, you can stick to your valuation, because Chelsea even last summer tried audaciously to get Lavia and they offered 50 million. So if Chelsea, for example, say to Southampton, even if it's not a bid, we might come and we're quite prepared to match the offer that we made last summer, then again, Southampton can use that to orchestrate a little bit of a bidding war. And that's exactly the kind of thing that Liverpool don't want to get sucked into. So the balance with Lavia is basically they want the player. There's not that many accessible defensive midfielders or number sixes or destroyers around that fit the profile that Liverpool are looking for, but they don't like the asking price. So now it's a case of how can they maybe match the package Southampton are looking for, but in structure, potentially still get a deal done that is more on Liverpool's terms.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Liverpool, so you mentioned sort of the atypical Liverpool move there and what Liverpool likes to do in the window. They like to come out on top of negotiations. They've been very good at that in recent years. Obviously, Michael Edwards, Julian Ward, and now Jörg Schmadtke. Is a different landscape for him, of course. I mean, the whole transfer window has been blown up somewhat. It's a little bit crazy at the minute with some of the money that's going around, the Declan Rice fee, Brighton's demand for Caicedo. You know, very good players in their own right, but when you're talking in excess of 100 million, it does seem a little bit crazy. And I think Southampton have in their rights to sort of hang fire on and sort of dig their heels in on the fee that they want. There's a Man City complication at play in terms of their profit offering is 20% of the deal as well. So there's a lot going on, but as you touched upon there at the end then, I think Liverpool at some point just kind of got to bite the bullet and say, Southampton clearly want this money, let's just get it done and produce a package that will do so. You mentioned some frustration there amongst the Liverpool fan base, which I think is absolutely right, by the way. Has there been any signs of frustration from sort of the Lavia camp on this, or the player himself? Because, or has he been kind of acting quite professionally, I guess, is the opposite? Has he been carrying on? You mentioned he wasn't in the squad. He sat on the bench the other night. He never came on for Southampton. Have we heard anything about him sort of pushing to get this deal over the line?
I mean, he's pushing to get it over the line in the sense that it's been intimated he wants the move to Liverpool, but I don't think we're going to see anything too unprofessional. The frustration is bred out of the fact that they're already into their season. And as a consequence, a player wants clarity. We're going to see this week with Harry Kane at Tottenham as well. So you either want to know, are you playing and are you invested therefore to doing a season in the Championship or at least until January? And if you are, you want to be playing. And Lavia hasn't been. And part of that is to protect him, because if he was to play and get injured, then that doesn't suit anybody. And I think that once the season starts, even though we have a deadline for the window after the season has started, players, many of them anyway, like to have that final decision. And this is the sort of interesting debate around the window that you won't find a sporting director out there or generally a football club executive that isn't glad the window continues after the season starts, because obviously what you want is to get business done early, assess during pre-season, then make another push in the build-up to the new season. And then if you don't start well, if you get an injury, if you realise that something is still missing, have one final chance to make a move, then you lock it in and you reassess in January. So of course, that's the perspective of the sporting directors and the clubs. But if you're a player, you basically at large want to get in as soon as possible, do a pre-season with your new club. If you're moving cities, then that has a transitional aspect that you want to do during some of the downtime, and then you start your season. So after a ball is kicked, not that many players want to move. And I think that as a result, with Lavia, you won't see anything unprofessional at this point. But now the season started, if it doesn't get done before Liverpool's first game against Chelsea, or obviously if any other club doesn't come in and sign the player, then if there is still a bid lingering towards deadline day, that's when you start seeing the player maybe consider doing something more publicly. So when I speak to sources close to the player, it's been made very clear. Anfield is the preferred destination. Liverpool have always had the situation, apart from obviously the asking price in their control. But he's not going to say to Southampton, I'm formally asking to leave, or issue some bold public statement at this point, because the belief is that Southampton are not necessarily being too unreasonable.
Hi again, everyone. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with the brilliant Ben Jacobs. If you want to watch that show in full, as well as all our other amazing content, including the full Bobby Firmino Best in the World documentary, head to redmenplus.com.
Thanks very much to Dan for that one. Let's move on to the final clip of the week. It is the opposition preview. Yes, we're back with the Oppo previews because the Reds are back in action. I was delighted to speak to Nini from the Blue Lions TV, big old Chelsea fan, with one of the sexiest voices in the world. Check this out.
See, from my point of view, I actually think that could actually suit us. Because we are so leaky a little bit at the back at the moment. An open game, it might just be like it's got to be blow for blow, and you know we have got a front three and a front five in particular who can score goals. Are you guys in the same boat? Because it's so fresh and there's a lot going on, it might just be that attack is the best form of defence almost until Pochettino gets the players he wants. And there's probably, like you mentioned before, Casetti hasn't really got his defensive midfielder yet. We're thinking as Liverpool fans, or at least I am, we're going to have to get through a few games where we're just going to have to go blow for blow and hope that you come out with the last blow. Are you guys in a similar boat just until things do settle and maybe the manager is he wants?
I feel like kind of to a degree. I think a lot of times what we did concede was because there was a lot of rotation in pre-season, like a lot of like youth players getting minutes, a lot of these youth guys we've signed in the window are playing as well too. But like whenever we used like a more of a stronger team, like the game against Brighton where we beat them 4-3, the moment we subbed our DM out the team, that's when we actually conceded two goals after that. So I feel like the guys know, okay, getting the DM situation secured is the most important thing. We know that Tyler Adams is doing his medical today right now. Of course, Casado, Lavia and all that stuff. So we'll have to see. I mean, they're not going to get signed in time for Sunday. So I think just in the context of that game, I think it's going to be a bit of a goal frenzy. I'm looking at you guys. I know Nunes. I really like Nunes. He's looking dangerous pre-season. I know Gakpo has been really like improving a lot too. But how is like Szoboszlai and McAllister been?
McAllister's been great. So I was like,
yeah,
McAllister, he's some player. Yeah. He played as a defensive midfielder the other day, funny enough, because we haven't got one. And he did well, but he's been good. So they've both been okay. It's actually been Liverpool's forwards that have been the best players, Nini. So Salah, Jota, Gakpo, and Diaz. Yeah. Have all looked really, really sharp. Liverpool, I'm convinced we'll score goals. We've scored four goals pretty much all the time. We play every game we played in pre-season. Again, similar to you, where it was like once the kids kind of went off, came on at the end, things changed. But when Liverpool had the big guns out, they scored quite a bit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Did let a few in as well. With that being said, I have got no idea what we can expect from both teams. But like, I know it's never, and again, I might be wrong here, but I've thought when I first saw the fixture list, if Liverpool can get to Stamford Bridge and get out of there without getting beat, it's not the, that that that'll do. You know, it's not the end of the way. You want to win games, of course. You want to win games, but a draw at Chelsea is never a bad thing. Yeah. I'm guessing it's different for you guys because it is a home game. I'm guessing, like, what is the feeling? I'm guessing, obviously, you want to win, but like, what
the
draw or a defeat do in the game
context? I think, to be fair, a draw would be the fairest result for both teams because, listen, like, we haven't finalized our business in the window. If we had those options secured, then it'd be a different discussion right now. So, like, we have our strengths and a few weaknesses each. And normally that tends to cancel each other out in games of this magnitude, right? So, I mean, I know Liverpool's front three, especially Diaz coming back too. I mean, he was really unlucky with his injury he got because this guy's just a serious winger. And of course, Nunes now is looking, I mean, he's showing his goal scoring ability that he was showing at Benfica. So I never really understood why people were so quick to criticize him and call him a flop. I think it was really forced, to be fair. So yeah, obviously a little bit of worry. Obviously, they're on the transition too from you guys. How we cope will be interesting, but I do finally feel like we have a bit of attacking threat now. Finally, that hopefully will give you guys some question marks.
Cheers to Nini for that one. Yeah, I mean, his voice is immaculate, isn't it? I can't believe you had to go from listening to me to listening to him back to listening to me. I can only apologise for that one. Right, that is us starting to wrap up then, guys. Like I say, if you want to watch or indeed listen to those shows in full video or podcast forms, redmenplus.com is the place to go. If you're listening to this on Spotify and you're thinking, you know what, I could do with more Spotify content in my lives. If you don't want to sign up at redmenplus.com and get the videos and you just want to get audio versions of those shows on Spotify, search right now in your app, Red Men Plus Podcasts. You'll find the subscription service there. You can sign up through there. You can pay them and you can get the content, not in video form, but you can get it in podcast forms directly on Spotify as well. So yeah, whether you want to go to the website or you want to do it through Spotify, we've got you covered on Red Men Plus. Right, the Reds are nearly here. Finally, the footy is back. If you're going to be watching the game at home and you fancy joining us at Red Men, simply go to our YouTube channel on the day. You can have the watch along with us. You can mute the TV commentary. You can watch along with us, interact with me and Paul and the entire gang as Liverpool hopefully lay the smack down on Chelsea. See us all soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.